As you see, Pastor Carter's not here this morning. He having some trouble with his leg. I hadn't had a chance to talk to him, but I'm sure it's got nothing to do with getting older, amen? I know he had mentioned it had been hurting him from the knee down. And I had the same problem, except it was like the neck down, amen? And he's a few years older than I am, so I'm really looking forward to the next. I love that song Sister Drake was just singing. And if he was to come right now, it wouldn't be too soon, amen? Well, I tell you, the older you get, the more you cherish the moments that he will come. And when you see everything that's going on in the news with Israel, and do pray for Israel. Matthew 27:25, it says, "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children." And that's where they're at today. Amen. But we still need to pray for Israel. They need to be saved. And that's what got them where they're at now, is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But do pray for Israel and pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders that they'll continue to support Israel, because the battle is against them. It amazes me that our president is standing with Israel, at least as of right now. So that's one thing he's done right since he's been in there. Amen. But we want to pray that it'll stay that way and pray for the rapture. Amen. It's coming quick. I don't know when it's coming, but I know today we're one day closer than we were yesterday. Amen. So anyhow, open your Bibles to the book of James. We're in chapter 4. I believe we got to about verse 6 last time, verse 6 or 7, somewhere right along in there. James is a very, very important book. And I know I've said that time and time again. I like to study the book of James. It helps me. It helps me with my everyday life. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, we can't do that if we're not studying the book, amen? Now, you know, I know we're supposed to read our Bibles every day, and I try my best to do that, but I have a hard time with it. I get to reading, and I don't read very far, and I got to stop and study what I read. I see little things, and I just can't let them go. I need to just keep reading and then come back and study, but I have a hard time with that. I can't let it go. My mind's gotten so bad, I'll forget it later on, so I want to do it right now. Yeah, so when I'm reading it, so it might take me a month to read through a small portion of Scripture, but that's all right. You learn more that way, I believe. And then, in Jude 1 and verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And folks, we need to think about that. When we're studying James, we need to remember that. James is just trying to keep us on the right track. He's trying to keep us in pure doctrine. You got to remember that when James was writing this, it was the time that the church was scattered abroad. And we know that the devil used that for wickedness, but God used it for good. As they were scattered, they were planting and starting churches all over the place. So Jude, when you're starting churches, and I've said this before, and you're planting new churches, and even here today, as long as we've been here, you continuously add to the church. You're teaching and preaching the gospel, and you're trying to convert new people. You want those that are lost to become saved, but by doing that, you're also bringing in all that old luggage. You know, I know sometimes we think that people are supposed to get saved and boom, everything's just washed away and we're made new. We are on the inside, but we're not on the outside. You know, we're still in this flesh. We're still carrying all those old things with us, and we bring them to the church house. So we have to, if we don't teach and preach continuously on the truth and on true doctrine, it will get lost. I mean, look around today and all the other churches around. It's hard to find a church that is sticking to true doctrine anymore. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." That's where we're at today. And that's because little by little, we let the truth get away from us. and we become offended. Folks, if the Word of God's offending you, God's not the problem. The problem is we're wallowing so close in the world anymore that when somebody says something about it, it's offensive to us. So if anything becomes offensive to you, then you need to examine self. Why does that bother me? You see what I'm saying? That's where we need to be in our life. Why is that offensive to me? Now, we do not need the Christian police, but we're not Christian police. You know, we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be policing everybody. You know, you worry about you and let John worry about John. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know about you, but I got my hands full just taking care of me. And that's not even counting my wife. When I throw that in there, I'm done. My day is taken. I don't have room to worry about what you're doing. And it's not my place and it's not my business. Now, when we're up here teaching and preaching, we're going to teach what God tells us to teach, and we're going to teach His word for what it says. Now, if that offends you, it's between you and God. It's not because I'm personally picking on you or saying something to you, because I don't have a clue what you're doing every day in your life. So don't think that it's me or the preacher picking on you, because that's not the case. But we continue to teach it. And continue. James, how many times has the book of James been taught here over the years? Lord only knows. But we're going to teach it again. And we're going to teach it again. If the Lord don't come, we're going to continue to teach it. We're going to continue to teach all the Bible. It's all necessary. But don't let it become offensive to you. If something there is bothering you, grab a hold to it and say, what is it? What do I need to change in my life so that this doesn't bother me anymore? You know, and we're all guilty. Every one of us. I know we like to think that we're perfect and the world's wrong. But that's not the way it is. We're all wrong, aren't we? We're all in these sin-cursed bodies. It was handed down from Adam, and we inherited it. So all of us are sinners. We're just saved by grace. And that's why we don't need a Christian police. We're all in that same boat. If it weren't for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us would be on our way to hell today. So when we see somebody else that's a little worse off, or maybe one point in their life is wrong, you know what you need to do? Thank God that you're not there. Don't worry about them. You just worry about you and just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that's not me. You know, I mean, I see people out on the street. I led a guy to the Lord the other day up here behind Checkers, and he told me flat out he was hooked on crack. And I said, well, Jesus, to get you off of it. He said he's been trying for several years to get off of it, and he just hadn't had any success. I said, Jesus will get you off of it. Jesus will get you off of anything if you will give your life to Christ. And he got saved right there. And he said he was going to try to attend church. I hadn't seen him, but I'm sure he's still addicted. Now, you know, you think about us, a lot of us are addicted to coffee and don't want to admit it. But is there a difference? I mean, think about it. If you're addicted to something, you're addicted to it. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, naturally, a drug, that's something that messes up your mind, is worse than being addicted to coffee, I think. I don't drink coffee, but I know some of you that I worry about. I'm like, I don't know if their mind's right or not, but I know they drink a lot of coffee, right? So I'm just saying, we don't need to be the Christian police. We need to be praying for these folks. And we're going to get into this in James when we're looking at ourselves here in the church family. We don't need to be nitpicking one to another. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. If you see an issue with somebody, pray for them. Seriously. I mean, if I have an issue, pray for me. Like right this morning, Dr. Carter, he's got issues. Pray for him. He needs our prayers. You know, his leg is bothering from knee down. As he, you know, they're trying to figure out what's wrong with it, but pray for him. He needs prayer. And I know somebody will say, well, see there, he got sin in his life. They're getting him. That's not the way it is. We got the sin curse in our lives, don't we? We're getting old. So let's look at chapter 4. And what I want to do, like I said, I know we got to about verse 6, somewhere along in there. But let's back up to verse 1, and we'll get a running start, and we'll get into it. And I'll probably comment a little bit along the way, because I know most of you are like me. I can't remember what I read day four yesterday. So I know I can't remember what I read several weeks ago, what we studied several weeks ago before the pastor came back, right? So chapter 1, it says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? And what's he talking about right here? Everything that we've studied in the book of James has been about who? Us, right? And that's what James is trying. That's what God is using James to point out to us right here. We have a battle going on inside of us. We have to remember that when we get saved, the Spirit of God moves where? Inside. But I'm still here. This old sin-cursed body is still here. So what James is telling you right here is that we have a war going on right here. So if I'm battling amongst myself continually, then I might end up having a problem with you. You think that to be fair? But that's what he's warning us about. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's saying, look, you're battling among yourself right here. That's why it's so hard. If we didn't have to contend with that, we could all be much better Christians, couldn't we? It wouldn't be a problem to get up to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, during the Bible conference. We'd all would make it every time because there would be nothing else in our day and nothing else in our life to stop us. But that's not the case. We're always contending with the flesh. This flesh has a desire, and it's not of God. It's of wickedness. The Bible plainly tells us that everything that we are, everything we can muster up is nothing but wicked and evilness continually. The heart of man, right? So that's what James is telling us. And we get on in verse 2, it says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Now, I know right there people say, well, that don't make sense because I ask all the time, but I haven't received. That's what he's trying to tell you. We're asking and we're not receiving it, but why? Why are we not receiving it? Verse 1 pretty much told us why. The battle is right here. And being sin-cursed as we are, when we're asking for things, it's always for what? To feed the flesh the majority of the time. Now, we don't like to admit that, but it's true. When we're asking for things, we want a bigger house. We want a newer car. We want more money. We're always asking for things. Or I need better health. Maybe you don't. See, God don't see things the way we see them. Maybe that sickness will humble you to get you where you need to be on your knees before God to get you where you need to be in your Christian life. See, we don't want to look at that side of it. But that's the truth of it. And that's what he's telling us. If we put it all into perspective. And verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may be consuming upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's something else. We don't really like to think about that. We don't like to look at that verse. But the Bible plainly tells us right here that if you're friends with the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, when you turn the news on, you see all these people that's protesting, that's against Israel. Who is it that they really hate? God. Most of those people know nothing of Israel. They don't know anything about the Jews, other than what a little bit they've heard. It's God who they hate. That's the world. And that's the same world you see when you go out into the world and you go different places, wherever those places may be that you like. If it's affecting the way you live your Christian life, it's wrong. It doesn't matter whether it's Disney World or whether it's the golf course or the fishing hole. It makes no difference. If it affects the way you live your life, it's wrong. Plain and simple. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go out into the world and enjoy certain things. I'm not saying that. You pick and choose what's right and wrong for you. But if it's going to stop you from serving your God, it's wrong. If you go to the grocery store, now get this. If you go to the grocery store and you have to fight to get in line or be rude because you don't want to wait an extra 2 minutes, then you're wrong. It's that simple. We're supposed to be Christ-like everywhere we go. I don't think Jesus would be in line pushing some old woman out of the way so he can get his groceries 2 seconds faster. Right? Or being there throwing, having a fit because they got to wait an extra minute and a half. That's why I just don't go. Because it'll mess up your testimony. So what do? You avoid it. If you know it's going to mess up your testimony, why do you go? Just, if I was to go to a bar, would, if you saw me in a bar, would that mess up my testimony? It would, whether I was drinking or not. It would mess up my testimony, wouldn't it? I feel the same way about Walmart. If I go, it's probably going to mess up my testimony, so I send my wife. She deals with that a little better. So I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what it is. It's easy to sit here and point fingers, well, you go to Disney World, or you go to the car races, or you go play golf. You shouldn't. I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of that. What I am saying is if it affects your testimony, and if it affects the way you live your Christian life, it's wrong. It doesn't matter whether it's going to the golf course or going to Walmart. We should always live as Christians. If you go to a restaurant and get bad service, it's aggravating sometimes, especially nowadays when they charge you $40 for a hamburger and a Coke. And then they throw it at you, and you know, you get bad service. You know, you still need to keep your testimony, right? And if you can't do that, just don't go. Now, that, we don't like that, but that's the truth. That's where we need to be in our lives. And this is why James is continuously telling us. Everything James is teaching is always about us, about the way we live our life and the way we serve our God. And that's what he's trying to tell us right here. And we just need to soak that up and think about it every day, everywhere we go, everything that we do. You know, if you have two school teachers and they're fighting and arguing in school, is that a good testimony? No, but she got to the copy machine. I got here first. I should have had a right to use it. She pushed me out of the way. She took my copies. But this goes on all the time, all around the world. Just little stupid things. And that's also why we don't need to be the Christian police, right? We let them deal with that. And then he goes on to verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust to envy. In verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now I want you to notice in verse 5, that's a little S. That spirit right there is not talking about God's spirit that moved into you when you got saved. That spirit right there is talking about when we went back to verse 1, if we go back to verse 1 right now, and we read about where we have a war, a battle going on inside of us. That's the spirit it's talking about. It's talking about us, our inner spirit. It tells you right here, do you think that the scripture saith the vain, that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? No, no. Then he goes on to say, but he giveth more grace. Now, when we see that little word, but, Pastor Carter always said, what are we doing? We're crossing the street, going to the other side of the truth. He giveth more grace. Now, what he's telling us right here is that all this that's going on previously, all this that's going on in our life, right here's our answer. But God giveth more grace. We got a good God. He knows that all these things that we're battling, all these things that are going on in our lives and the turmoil, he knows that. He knows that we live in these sin-cursed bodies. And he's a gracious God. So he gives us more grace. Now, what did he also just do? He also just took away all those excuses, didn't he? Because he said he gives more grace. So God's going to give us more grace than what the devil's going to give us a hard time. So it's right back. He just put the ball right back in our court. Now it's right back on us again. It's all about the decisions we make, how much we love, and how much we serve our God every day of every moment. And folks, we need to do that every day, every moment of our lives. We need to think about who we serve and what is our purpose here on this earth. He goes on to verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, submitting yourself to God, that's not really an easy thing to do, is it? Because in order to really get God's full grace, we have to truly, fully submit ourselves to God. That's like the fellow I was just telling you about that was on crack. In order for him to get off of that crack, he has got to submit himself to God. That's what he's got to do. I've dealt with this same situation. I remember I told you I used to smoke. And when God called me into the ministry, I was smoking then. But I had to quit. And I tried quitting. It was hard. But guess what? When I finally submitted it and gave it to God, he took it. And this is the God's honest truth. For years after I quit, I couldn't even smell a cigarette. That's the truth. When God took them, he took them. If you were standing right beside me smoking a cigarette and the smoke came in my way, I couldn't smell it. Therefore, it didn't encourage me to want to smoke. See, God just took all of it away. And that pertains to every aspect of our life. But we have to truly give it to God. Our problem is we want to be in submission. We truly do. But we always want to have control. Isn't that the way we are? We want to submit ourselves. Now, you wives probably know how that is. You want to submit yourselves to your husband, but you still want to have him say so. But see, we can't have it both ways. God says we are to submit ourselves. We are to humble ourselves unto him. Jesus gave us a good example. Jesus humbled himself unto the cross, unto death. He was obedient to the Father. He submitted himself wholly unto God. And you say, well, that was easy. He was God. He was still in the man's body. He was 100% man, sinless. So we know that we can be submissive. We have to do that. We have to make that decision that I am going to submit myself to my God, and I'm going to serve my God by his will. Whatever that is in my life that he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. See, we want to submit one part of our life and hang on to the other part. No, we need to submit all of our life to God. Folks, if God didn't want you, when you get saved, and I know you've heard this before, he could just kill you right there, take you right on to heaven, get you out of here. No, we all have a purpose here. Our problem is we get so wound up in what we want and in what we're doing in our lives that we forget about God and what he wants us to be doing in our lives through him. Because when we're saved, we're born again. Folks, when you get saved, you should start to realize what a blessing the gift of eternal life is, what Jesus just gave you. And through that, we should be starting to want to humble and yield our lives to our God. And we should grow from that. But we don't. In a lot of cases, in a lot of times, we don't, because we don't do what God tells us to do. First of all, we don't read the Bibles. We don't study the way we ought to study. We don't pray the way we ought to pray. You know, Brother Martin brought up a very good point in Senior Patriots yesterday when he was preaching yesterday. He was talking about the Muslims that three or four times a day, they'll sound the alarm and they'll bow down right where they're at. And they'll put their faces on the ground and pray to Allah. Think about that. That's a false god. But they're so committed to the false gods. But yet we serve the God. We serve the living God. God Jehovah, King of Kings. We serve the all-high God. And we won't bow our face before our God. Think about that. When you put that into perspective, it doesn't look good on our part as Christians, do it? I mean, my soul, we should be so happy to be who we are that all these other little things that James is trying to teach us here should be minute to us. It shouldn't mean anything. We should really care less about the way the world does. We should be concerned about how we live our life for our God. And with everything that's going on, as time grows nigh, we know that the rapture is intimate. It's coming any time now. And we're still so stuck on self that we can't serve our God the way we ought to serve him. And you know the best way to see how people serve God? With a pocketbook. Now, we got a good church here. We can look right over there. Look at that gauge right there. We got some good people in here, don't we? It takes a lot. It takes a lot to get that. That's a lot for this church. But that's how we can tell the strength of a church. When a man will open his pocketbook to his God, that's a good sign. Because people are greedy. When it comes to money, they want every dime they can get. And we're all guilty of that. But, you know, it's good to know. And I always try to look at it like this. We only give them back 10%. Think about that. 10%. So, in other words, if I was to give you a $100 bill, would you give me $10 of it back right now? You say you would, and you'd love to do that, right? But if we did that, but if we did that every day, how long would it be before you'd be wanting to keep the $10? You see what I'm saying? But that's what God does. God give you 100, says, oh, I want 10 back. That's a pretty good deal, any way you look at it. Yeah, but when everybody else gets through with it, there's nothing left from me. Give God 12. Maybe he'll give you a little extra. You see what I'm saying? But it's our mindset, isn't it? It's our mindset, and it's our heart. We need to have it in the right place. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we say, well, I resist him, do we? When we're out mingling in the ways of the world and we're living our lives just like the world does, then we're not resisting the devil. And we need to think about those things. Go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 6. Listen to what it says. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Listen to what Satan said. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, by reading that, that tells me right there that Job had turned away from the ways of the world. He had turned away from the devil, and the devil fled him, didn't he? And God put a hedge around him. Do you think you're any different than Job? If you would do what God asked you to do, God would build a hedge around you just like he did Job. Now, as we read on, we see that the devil got into his life, but that was a battle between Satan and God. That's a whole other thing. But the point of the matter is that if we do what he says right here, we draw nigh to God or submit ourselves to God, therefore, and resist the devil, God will put a hedge around us. The devil's going to flee you. He's running around in the world looking for somebody to devour. He's not going to waste his time on you if he knows he's not going to have any success. He's going to look for somebody else. But we have to take that stand. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God. How do we get close to God? Prayer, supplications, do the things he asks us to do, do away with and get away from the world, get away from the devil, so the devil will flee us. It says here to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. You understand he's trying to tell you to clean up the outside. Clean up the outside. And then he says to purify your hearts, clean up the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but when my wife does the dishes and she washes the outside of that cup, it looks good. But I clean the inside of it, too. You know what I'm saying? And don't you think that's the way God is? Don't you think God wants to see us cleansed on the inside and the outside? We don't have to be half-hearted Christians. We can clean up the inside and the outside. Verse 9, it says, be afflicted. Well, let me finish this other one first. It says, ye double-minded. You remember back in earlier parts of James, we was talking about the double-minded man trying to serve both worlds, right? Trying to do both. Pastor Carter preached a message one time about straddling the fence, trying to walk on both sides of the line. And that's where too many Christians are today. Now, then he goes on and says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You understand what God is saying right here? Do you understand that if you lived your life for the Lord, the things of the world will break your heart? You understand that? Remember, you know, the weeping prophet Jeremiah? Folks, when you truly love and serve God, all these other things will begin to make you sick. And you become heavy-hearted and you become burdened for those that are lost and on their way to hell. Why? Because we get the focus off of us. And we start to get the focus on the lost, those who aren't serving God. And think about this. Why are you serving God? Why are you saved? Because somebody like you at some time or another took time out of their day to tell you about Jesus. There's so many people today that don't know about Jesus. Children that are coming up that's never heard the name Jesus. We've got people that go to church and has never heard that they needed to be saved. It's sad. But what he's trying to tell us here is that's where we ought to be. We ought to have a burden for the lost. And if we truly serve our God and we love our God and we're doing the things that he's asking us to do, that burden will be there. We'll begin to just grow sick of the world. I don't know about you, but I don't like going out in the world anymore. It just feels nasty. And everywhere you go, there's so much hatred. And it's continuously, and it doesn't matter what part of the world you go in anymore. Evil is just taken over fully. It's unreal the way it is now compared to what it was even 20 years ago. But that's what he's trying to tell us right here. And then in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Folks, you don't need to be the Christian police. You don't need to be trying to show yourself to be almighty. If you serve God in the capacity that God asks you to, and just humble yourself before the Lord, God will elevate you. He'll take care of all that. You don't have to worry about that. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Look what he says in verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We need to think about that. Because when we're Christian police, what are we doing? Judging the brethren, aren't we? The Bible just got through telling me there's only one judge. The Lord Jesus is going to be, we're going to stand before God and the Lord Jesus as our mediator. And God's going to be the only judge, isn't he? It's not my place to judge you. It's not your place to judge somebody else. Now, I have heard people say, I've heard Christians say, are you trying to judge me? Because they're doing wrong. Now, the law is still the law. It's still a sin to steal. It's still a sin to kill. That's, you know, we have those common sense laws. So if I see a brother that's, you know, doing something wrong, it's not wrong to say, hey, you shouldn't, maybe you ought not put that back. You shouldn't take that. It's not yours. You know, that's not judging him. God judged him. God told him not to steal. But I've heard Christians say, don't judge me. Now, sometimes that's an excuse for them to get by with the sin that they're committing. That's not right. But at the same time, it's not our place to judge another man. You know, there's more people that do not come to church because they've been hurt by a Christian than any other reason. You know, we have people that come in here, and God bless them. You know, they don't know what we know about God. They might not be dressed appropriately. I can't think of a better place for a drug addict or a drunkard to be than in God's house. At least he'll get the gospel. Maybe he'll get saved and leave here a changed man. But when they walk in the door and we start putting them down, being the Christian police, chances are they're going to leave. They're never coming back. You would be amazed at how many people do not go to church for that very reason. That's not our job. We need to lift them up, not put them down. We need to take them in and take care of them. We're not supposed to be a respecter of persons. We need to be taking these people in and take care of them. Well, he might ask me for a ham sandwich. Give him one. You know, I've heard so many Christians say that. It makes me sick. Listen to me. God has blessed me. I'll tell you right now, I'm not hungry. Well, I am right now. I didn't eat breakfast. But as a rule, I'm not hungry. You know what I'm saying? God has given me plenty. I can afford to give a sandwich to somebody. So if that's all that's stopping you from letting them in, bring them in, I'll give them a sandwich. You see what I'm saying? We just need to show some love. We're supposed to be God's people. We're educating ourselves in Christ. We're getting our training, our minds, and our bodies to serve our God. We need to be more like God. I don't think he would deny you a sandwich. You know, so we just need to consider all these things as we move through our Christian lives. And I'm out of time. Brother Burton looking at me. I'm going to quit right now. All right, what is our count, my brother? $8.42 this morning. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good.